First Presidency Message, Finding the Abundant Life, by President James E. Faust, Second Counselor in the First Presidency. The Savior said, I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. John chapter 10, verse 10. How is the abundant life to be obtained? The abundant life involves an endless search for knowledge, light, and truth. President Hugh B. Brown, 1883 to 1975, a counselor in the First Presidency, said, God desires that we learn and continue to learn, but this involves some unlearning. As Uncle Zeke said, it ain't my ignorance that done me up, but what I knowed that wasn't so. The ultimate evil is the closing of the mind or steeling it against truth, resulting in the hardening of intellectual arteries. We gain knowledge from two sources. One is the divine, the other is secular. Rex E. Lee, 1935 to 1996, president of Brigham Young University, referred to them as the rational process and the extra-rational process. We are all more familiar with the rational process, which we learn in school and through lifelong study. The extra-rational or divine source is less common. This source is, however, more sure. Both sources may be available to us. Fortunately, we do not have to choose one to the exclusion of the other. Brother Lee continued, We should feel equally at home in the academy and in the temple. We should regard each as a center of learning. We are apparently part of an expanding universe. Secular knowledge is expanding rapidly. Our knowledge of gospel truth is also expanding. Prophets continue to speak. Increased understanding of the scriptures is also possible. Opportunities for the abundant life increase as we pursue the quest for truth and knowledge. When questions arise. In the infinite process of accepting and rejecting information in the search for light, truth, and knowledge, almost everyone may have at one time or another some private questions. That is part of the learning process. Many are like the biblical father of the child with the dumb spirit who pleaded with the Savior, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Mark chapter 9, verses 17 and 24. The church has not, and in my opinion, should not speak on every disputed question. But I cannot help wondering if members of the church do not place themselves in some spiritual peril when publicly disparaging the prophetic calling of Joseph Smith, his successors, or any of the fundamental, settled doctrines of the church. Those who express private doubts or unbelief as a public chastisement of the leadership or the doctrine of the church or as a confrontation with those also seeking eternal light have entered upon sacred ground. Those who complain about the doctrines or leadership of the church but who lack the faith or desire to keep God's commandments risk separating themselves from the divine source of learning. They do not enjoy the same richness of the Spirit that they might enjoy if they proved their sincere love of God by walking humbly before Him, by keeping His commandments, and by sustaining those whom He has appointed to lead the church. Some of those who criticize and find fault have, in the past, felt the peaceful spiritual settling comfort enjoyed by those in full harmony with the gospel as restored by Joseph Smith. They may also have been lost and forgotten by those who should be more caring. Where safety is found. No stone wall separates the members of the church from all of the seductions of the world. Members of the church, like everyone else, are being surfeited with deceptions, challenges, and temptations. However, for those of enduring faith, judgment, and discernment, there is an invisible wall that they choose never to breach. Those on the safe side of the invisible wall are filled with humility. They willingly accept the supremacy of God and rely upon the scriptures and counsel of His servants, the leaders of the church. These leaders are persons with human frailties and are imperfect in their wisdom and judgment. Perfection in individuals is not found on the earth. But almost without exception, these leaders sincerely, humbly, and prayerfully render great and dedicated Christian service to the best of their ability. More important, they hold a divine warrant and commission through which great and eternal blessings come to those who sustain and follow them. They are God's servants. A few critics may lack understanding of the commitment of the faithful. For instance, a critic once wrote that obedience to commandments such as tithing is mandatory. However, compliance for you and me is never mandatory. That would make it forced. Nothing is mandatory in the church. Moral agency is a cardinal principle of obedience, and obedience comes from love of God and commitment to His work. The only punishment for serious transgression or apostasy is the removal of members from the society and fellowship of the church. Doctrine and Covenants, section 134, verse 10. Is personal self-sufficiency one of the reasons men and women lack faith? Some seem afraid to look to any source of wisdom and knowledge above themselves. They rely only on the secular source of learning. A small number may claim fealty and loyalty to the church, but think it smart, sophisticated, or trendy to be a little rebellious, a little bit independent, and to disparage some of the traditional doctrines handed down by the prophet Joseph Smith and his successors. This may result from a lack of divine knowledge. When I was a boy, one frequently maligned doctrine was the word of wisdom. Some took offense when the church leaders taught it. Now, scientific proof, unknown in my youth, has established the word of wisdom to be a great law of physical health, even though, in my opinion, its greatest benefits are spiritual. I have heard some say, "Well, I can believe all of the revelations but one." It is hard to understand this logic. If one believes that revelations come from a divine source, how can one pick and choose? Acceptance of the gospel should be complete and absolute, with full heart and soul. Some want to justify criticism by claiming, "But it is the truth." My answer is, how can you be so sure? Spiritual truth must be bonded in faith and righteousness to be fully understood. The Apostle Paul reminded us that the misuse of truth changes it into a lie. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. Since the beginning of the restored church, there has been much opposition and many critics both within and without. What have been the results of all that opposition and criticism? Some of the spiritually immature, the weak, and the incredulous have dropped out. The church itself, however, not only survives but grows and strengthens. In some respects, nothing in the world is equal to this work. Despite the many challenges of great growth, there are indications of increased faith over much of the earth. For instance, never in the history of the world have so many temples been built. I do not believe this work will be stopped or seriously injured by detractors. There are many prophetic statements to the contrary. History has proven, quite conclusively, that the church has grown under persecution. It has prospered under criticism. By finding fault with the doctrines, practices, or leadership, one can waste much time and effort in a fruitless endeavor. Those who have been washed in the waters of baptism put their eternal souls at risk by carelessly pursuing only the secular source of learning. We believe that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints has the fullness of the gospel of Christ, which gospel is the essence of truth and eternal enlightenment. We hold that the great legacy of the Church is that it possesses the only full means for eternal life. The source of true doctrine. Who is to declare the doctrine? It is well established by revelation and practice that the current president of the church and his counselors have the keys to declare the doctrine. The investiture of this authority comes from revelation. The first presidency are constituted a quorum to receive the oracles for the whole church. Doctrine and Covenants, section 124, verse 126. Of this authority, Elder Stephen L. Richards, 1879 to 1959, then a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, stated, "They, the presidency, are the supreme court here on earth in the interpretation of God's law. In the exercise of their functions and delegated powers, they are controlled by a constitution, a part of which is written and a part of which is not. The written part consists in authenticated scripture, ancient and modern, and in the recorded utterances of our latter-day prophets. The unwritten part is the spirit of revelation and divine inspiration which are pertinent to their calling. In formulating their interpretations and decisions, they always confer with the council of the 12 apostles, who by revelation are appointed to assist and act with them in the government of the church. When, therefore, a judgment is reached and proclaimed by these officers, it becomes binding upon all members of the church, individual views to the contrary notwithstanding. God's kingdom is a kingdom of law and order. We do not wish any who might have questions to prove that they are sincere in their feelings by leaving the church. That is not what we want. We hope that their sincerity would be manifested rather by building upon those feelings that have kept them in the church. Their faith can be strengthened by following their intuitive judgment and the purest and noblest feelings of their own souls. By looking to a source higher than themselves, they can receive answers to their questions from the divine source. If there have been some mistakes, there is a way back. The doors are wide open. Welcoming arms are outstretched. There is a place for all. There is a contribution for each to make. In the spirit of a letter to Wilford Woodruff, 1807 to 1898, to Lyman White, 1796 to 1858, an apostle who became separated from the leadership of the church, we say to all, come home to Zion, mingle in our midst, confess and forsake your sins and do right, as all men have to do, in order to enjoy the favor of God and the gift of the Holy Ghost, and have fellowship with the saints. We all feel interested in your welfare. You have no enemies here. The longer you stay away from us, the more alienated your feelings become. The leadership of the church will continue to pray for its critics, its enemies, and those who seek to do it harm. I believe that few things in life deserve one's complete confidence. I testify that the church is worthy of full trust. There is no inconsistency between truth and faith. I know that everyone who sincerely and righteously seeks to know this can have it spiritually confirmed. May we open our minds, hearts, and spirits to the divine source of truth. May we reach above ourselves and beyond our mundane concerns and become heirs to the knowledge of all truth and to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Gospel topics: faith, humility, knowledge, sustaining leaders. Ideas for home teachers. Some points of emphasis. You may wish to make these points in your home teaching discussions. 1. The abundant life involves an endless search for knowledge, light, and truth. 2. In the search for knowledge, everyone may have private questions at one time or another. 3. Members would place themselves in spiritual peril if they were to publicly disparage the prophetic calling of Joseph Smith, his successors, or any of the fundamental settled doctrines of the church. 4. Those who complain about church doctrines or church leadership, but lack the faith or desire to keep God's commandments, risk separating themselves from the divine source of learning. 5. Safety is found by those who humbly and willingly accept the supremacy of God and rely upon the scriptures and counsel of His servants, the leaders of the church. 6. The Lord's church is worthy of our full trust. Discussion helps. 1. Relate your feelings about staying close to the counsel of the leadership of the church. 2. Are there some scriptures or quotations in this article that the family might read aloud and discuss? 3. Would this discussion be better after a pre-visit chat with the head of the house? Is there a message from the bishop or quorum leader? End of the first presidency message, Finding the Abundant Life, by President James E. Faust, second counselor in the first presidency.